If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Nobody is ready for what's about to happen in this housing market. Nobody. No mainstream media organization is talking about it. Every data piece I'm looking at doesn't even recognize what's about to happen. So we're going to blow the roof off the dump right now and tell you. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. On this show, we aim to make you a more intelligent investor. And I got to tell you, what's about to happen in this real estate market in 2023 and into 2024 is astonishing. We are about to see housing prices skyrocket again. We're already starting to see it in some of these test markets, areas outside of New York City, where over the past few weeks, bidding wars have been breaking out once again. Yes, bidding wars. Bidding wars are breaking out once again. And again, why we're seeing this is because of pent-up demand. So I want to go through some of the data points here, and then we're going to take some of your phone calls on this Q&A episode. But get ready for housing prices to skyrocket. So if you've been sort of sitting on the sidelines wondering, hey, you know, should I invest in real estate right now, or should I make that purchase? If you can afford it, if you've got money for a down payment and you've got your financing lined up, you're pre-approved and all that, absolutely. And the reason is right now, prices are low. Prices are flat. That's not going to remain for very much longer. Okay, we saw a slight little correction. And when I say correction, all I mean is that interest rates went up and millennials couldn't buy homes. That's the correction we saw. But I'm telling you, the pent-up demand for properties right now is off the charts. The new Pew Research numbers just came out this past week, and it shows us that we need 3.8 million homes. 3.8. I even think that number's a little low, but this is a new study this week that says we need 3.8 million properties. This, again, is astonishing. And so all of those millennials, here's where it gets really interesting. All of those millennials that can't afford to buy a home right now because they just be stretched too thin, they want to buy a home, but they just can't afford it because the mortgage interest rates are a little too high, and they know that their monthly payment will be more than they should be spending, and it just will stretch them too much, right? So they've sat on the sidelines. What are they doing? They're renting, okay? Now, once those mortgage rates drop just a little bit, just a fraction, the governor is going to be pulled off, and things are going to explode once again. Beyond that, as we now have banks are going to start to accelerate and start to actually fund more construction. So you have a lot of builders right now that are actually, right now they have builders who have had slowed down some of their prices, cut some of their prices. That's about to change. Builders are going to increase their prices once again. And so we see some of the big home builder companies are about to start doing this. They know they're sitting on this inventory. And then once that inventory is sold, boom, it takes off. So again, first-time home buyers can't afford to buy right now. And baby boomers have been buying up some of those properties. A lot of those properties post-pandemic that they couldn't afford because interest rates went up a little bit. And now, guess what happens when those rates start coming back down just a fraction? It's going to be an explosion. And so there is going to be bidding wars breaking out all over the country, in my opinion, once again. And it, you know, it's not my opinion. It's based on data. We already saw this happening before. So it's about to happen again. And the people that were sitting on the sidelines waiting to buy a home who were saying, oh my God, there's eight people bidding on this property. It's insane. It was $200,000 home and it sold for $220,000 because the people kept bidding up the price on it. The demand is there, folks. It is going to explode. And by the way, the appreciation is going to take off in big ways. Again, see, the thing is, appreciation is continued even in markets where it's not like a bubble market. We've seen constant, steady appreciation, even as these prices have fallen flat a little bit over the past year, even as this correction because of higher mortgage interest rates has sat there. What's going to happen as we enter into 2024, which is a presidential year, presidential election year, we are going to see more money being printed by the federal government and more banks partnering with the government in order to boost profits. This is going to happen. This happens in election cycles. Every 4 years, you can set an egg timer by it. It's going to happen. So get ready, folks. No one is ready for this. But if you're sitting on the sidelines right now, hey, thinking about investing in real estate, and you're like, I don't know, you know, mortgage interest rates are a little bit higher right now. And I don't know, the economy is a little shaky. Yeah, that's the perfect time to get in as these prices are flat. And mortgage rates be damned. Yeah, they're a little higher. Great. Refinance. You know, you get an investment property and you get a higher than you want interest rate right now. Great. In 2 years, when it drops maybe a point or 2 points, then refinance it. But you're adding to your asset column by investing in real estate right now. And you're picking up properties at lower prices than you're going to be able to get in the next few years. Again, real estate's the number one way to build wealth. It blows away stocks. Stocks can't even touch it. And so if you have an opportunity right now, you've got some financing available, you've got some money sitting in a 401k or an IRA or another investment spot that you want to roll over and start to utilize, now's the perfect time to be able to do that. And my team at Morris Invest can help you. We can push you in the right direction. And even if we can't help you, we'll guide you in that right way. We'll have links in the description below if you're interested in booking a call with our team on that. So today is our Q&A episode. I wanted to bring you some new data about these $3.8 million home prices, homes that are needed right now from this Pew results, and how crazy it is as we're about to head into this housing prices skyrocketing again here in the next few months to a year. So just get ready. But we will take your phone calls, and you're able to leave us a voicemail question by going to our website. If you go to morrisinvest.com, on the right side of your screen, you'll see a microphone icon there. Just click that little microphone and you can leave us a voicemail message and we will play it here on the show. Anything that real estate, tax related, or whatever else is on your mind. All right, here's our first question.
Hello, I have a question. How do we use lifetime annuities to invest in real estate or gold? And what would occur in a deep recession as far as with the loss of the dollar to those benefits, even though they're guaranteed for life? Thank you.
Thank you so much for that question. So I believe what you're asking is, are you going to use the cash flow from the annuity to invest in real estate, or a lump sum payment to invest from your annuity into real estate? To me, there's no difference, right? You're getting, if you have an annuity that's paying out monthly or paying out a lump sum, you can use that however you want. And if you want to use it to live your life as cash flow, a lot of people look at annuities as, you know, a cash flow vehicle that allows them to live their day-to-day life. If you want to use that cash flow, though, from your annuity to invest it in a property, again, or you have a down payment amount, what I would do is just being able to use that lump sum amount as a down payment and using it as the same way that I would use cash. So if I've got a lump payment from my annuity and I want to take that $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 as a down payment to buy a rental property, and then I'm financing the rest through a bank, then I'm really only out of pocket that lump sum payout that I got from my annuity, from my insurance contract that's been distributing these funds out. So, you know, you can do this in periodic payments. You can do this in lump sum payments. It really is up to you and how you have it structured. But once you receive payments after that annuitization period, it's always hard to say. I always find that difficult to say. Am I saying that right? Annuitization period. I don't have annuities, so I don't really ever play in this pool, so to speak. But then, you know, you begin receiving these payments after that annuitization period kicks in, and you'll receive it for a fixed period of your life or even for the rest of your life. I mean, that's the beauty of having one of these types of insurance policy programs that pays out, you know, regularly. To me, a lot of the reason that people get an annuity program like this is so that they're living off of this cash flow. So, you know, maybe it's up to you and how you want to structure it. Are you going to use that cash flow that you might be using to live off of, pay your groceries and live your experience in your life for the rest of your life in your retirement? You want to take that cash and then start sinking it into real estate. I mean, I wouldn't see why not. I mean, why would you not want to do that, right? To continue to buy until you die. That's the idea, right? Continue to add assets to your asset column that you can hand down to your family. So if you're getting these periodic or monthly payments from your annuity, do whatever you want with it. You know, you could buy gold. And you talked about, well, what happens if the market goes down? Well, what do you mean, right? I mean, if you own property, you own housing, and you see a little bit of a correction in value of the property, You're still getting the cash flow from the tenant in the property. You're still getting the tax benefits of the property. And again, housing has historically outperformed the stock market in times of trouble. I mean, it's not even close. You can't even touch it. I've done whole videos on the benefits of owning property versus stocks and bonds, et cetera, right? So even if the prices drop a little bit and things are a little flat, who cares? Who cares, right? You still got the cash flow. You've still got the tax shelter of owning real estate. And you're building up your asset column as a hedge against inflation on this, at the same token. Buying gold's a different animal, right? I mean, the reason you're buying gold or real estate, frankly, but the reason you're buying precious metals is that's great if it goes up in value. But really, it's to the reason you're buying precious metals is to get out of the US dollar. It's so that you have something that is not going to fluctuate like the US dollar and lose value. Gold has sustained for 5,000 years as a hedge against wars and famines and government collapses of currency, right? So has real estate. So the reason you would buy that, take some of that cash from your annuity and funnel it into that is to really just transfer out of a US dollar and into something stable long-term. If the market turns and goes down, well, then you've got now two assets that are a hedge against a downturn. You've got real estate and gold, which is a hedge against these downturns. Anyway, I hope this was helpful. I don't quite know the structure of your annuity and how that works. They're all different. So if you have any more further questions, please feel free to book a call with our team, Melody, and we'll try to get your answers on the phone for you, okay? All right, here's our next question.
Hello, I was reaching out to inquire about buying real estate under LLCs. I was wondering, would you warn against putting all of your properties underneath one LLC, or do you advise for every property to have their own LLC? And what would be the advantages and disadvantages of both? Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for the question. Well, first, let me remind you that I am not a financial advisor, nor am I a lawyer, so I can't tell you to do it this way or that way. I can just simply tell you the way that we do it, and also I can tell you about the lawyers we've had on our show and what they recommend. So, first of all, the way that we do it is we had LLCs in the different states where we owned properties. So in Texas, we had an LLC or two. In Missouri, et cetera, where we own properties, we have LLCs for those states. They all each have their own business banking account. And then those bank accounts report up to our main holding company account, right? Our main LLC. So that's the way that we structured it. Now, I will say I would definitely consult with a lawyer on this because your mileage may vary. I would definitely work with a real estate friendly lawyer like the team over at Corporate Direct. You know, you've heard Garrett Sutton on our show. And if you tell them I think we even have a link on our website. Go to morrisinvest.com and go to our resources page. We have a link there that will take you to Garrett Sutton's team at Corporate Direct. And they'll help you get this set up for very, very inexpensively. Plus, they'll tell you about how to structure it. And they'll save you some money too. I think they'll save you like $100 or a couple hundred dollars off the sign-up fee once you're setting these LLCs up. It's inexpensive to set up LLCs, but you'll save some money that way. So what I'll say about what lawyers have told us, what tax advisors have told us, it's really about your level of comfort, right? If you have one LLC that owns all of your properties and you get sued, then you get sued, that whole LLC, the value of that LLC is now big, right? And so that lawsuit has access to all of that's inside that LLC. So the way I've heard it advised by different lawyers over the years is, you know, maybe up to about $300,000 in value in one LLC. Now, for some people, that could be just one property. You know, for me, it was a couple of properties at a time. I might have had three or four properties in one of these LLCs, right? Up to about $300,000 in value or $250,000 in value. Some people like to go up to $1 million. So you might have like five properties in one LLC. It really just depends on your, you know, just really depends on your comfort level, to be honest with you. You know, the whole reason we have LLCs set up is so that you personally are not being sued for something. So remember, it's not about tax benefits or anything else. It all comes down to liability. And for tax purposes, I like the idea of keeping things separate. not having so many LLCs for filing taxes that it makes my head spin or my accountant's head spin, because all of the filing of that just causes extra fees. You're paying more for it. So to go crazy with LLCs can also be, I guess my answer is find a happy medium. find the sweet spot that makes you comfortable, that's not crazy. You know, having 100 LLCs with 100 properties sounds crazy to me. But a lot of commercial investors do it. You know, they buy up apartment complexes and each of those apartment complexes is one LLC. So again, your mileage may vary depending on your threshold, but how much liability exposure you want in each LLC. I hope that helps. All right, our next question.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Tanita. And thank you for having such an amazing platform to ask my question. I'm a newcomer to the HELOC. And so I have a low mortgage. And I'm wondering if it is best to go ahead and take a HELOC to pay off my total $53,000 balance on my mortgage, or just take a HELOC and pay partial on my mortgage. I want to invest in real estate, and this would give me my primary funding to actually begin as an investor. And so I'm looking at a HELOC to either pay down my mortgage down to zero or pay it half to down to 25,000. And if that's a great strategy, I would like your expertise on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tanita, for the question. That's a great question. And boy, I don't know if you're here in the studio, we just got a thunderstorm here. So it's sorry if you hear the background noise. I can't do anything about it. It's a pouring down rain all of a sudden. So I apologize for that. So let's dive into that question. Great question. So I love the home equity line of credit as a way to both invest in real estate and to pay off debt. So if you've read my book on Amazon, it's called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. And buy the blue copy of the book. I think we sell it for $4.99. It's a great book. And we talk all about these strategies in that book. The blue cover is the most up-to-date version of the book. So check that out. So I'm a fan of using it both ways. Tanita, I don't like, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do with your HELOC. Like, hey, pay off your house. You know, Tanita, go pay the whole thing off. You know, it really comes down to your personal preferences and your home that you live in. You know, the interest rate might be so low that who cares about that $53,000 sitting there, right? It's, you're paying it off and okay, you're chunking away at it and great, right? You're paying it off over time and that's great. It's like a student loan. I had a student loan that had like 0.0. It was a ridiculously low interest rate. So I paid off my other high interest debt that I had over my life. And I didn't even worry about the student loan because the interest rate was so low, it just didn't even matter. But I understand the mental feeling of knowing that the home you live in is paid off. So that's why I do both. So I get a home equity line of credit. And I use a percentage of it and I outline it all in the book. And I use like, I'll take like 10,000 from the home equity line of credit and I'll fire it at the principal balance of my main mortgage. And the reason this works is because you're trading time. You know, the two biggest enemies are time and interest, right? Time and interest. And what you're doing is you're literally slashing the time. Because principal balance is, of course, the thing that you want to slash. And so your amortization schedule for paying back your mortgage now is totally altered. I've literally just taken a sword and slashed that whole thing. That's why it's so powerful, right? So you're saving months and months and months of mortgage payments by doing it this way. I like it. And then I also really like using a home equity line of credit to start investing in real estate. You know, like one of our properties at Morris Invest is going to be between $50,000 and $60,000 down payment, roughly somewhere in that range, and then financing the rest of it. So imagine you took $50,000 from your home equity line of credit. You bought a brand new construction rental property that's now cash flowing, you know, I don't know, $1,200 a month in cash flow, while at the same time you're using the rest of your home equity line of credit and you're paying off your main mortgage and eliminating it, building yourself equity. That to me is a killer strategy. I love doing it that way. That's my personal preference. I can't tell you how to do it. But you can tell where my favorabilities lie on the, or my biases lie on that. Anyway, I hope you found that helpful. Check out the book. I think there's a lot more details in there that can help you with the mortgage question. Again, it's called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. And I think it's on sale for like $4.99 on Amazon right now. The Kindle version anyway. So go grab that. Thank you guys for your great questions. Go to our website, morrisinvest.com. Click on the microphone icon on the right side of your screen and leave us a voicemail question. We'll play it here on the show. Thank you for everyone for being a part of our great community here. Really, really appreciate it. I see the tens of thousands of new subscribers that we've got over the past few months. So there's a real appetite out there to learn and educate yourself about real estate investing. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.